Grab a seat as we get into the Word. You know, tonight, I know this is the third week here of understanding the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Dan did an amazing welcome, an introduction, kind of laying the foundation of what the gifts of the Spirit are, the supernatural power of them. As he laid the foundation, explaining the purpose behind them to build up the church for the edification of man and for the benefit and the blessing of the entire body. You know, not just to raise up a man or this or that, but, you know, for the edification, the building up, the encouragement, and the working together of the entire body. You know, looking at it, if you'll go with me in 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to go through verses 4 through 12 and read through this chapter. Let's go ahead and go there. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 through 12. Let's go ahead and get into this. Now it says, now there's diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given in each one for the profit of all. You know, the manifestation is simply just a coming together. It's the appearance or the working of something that's spiritual. A manifestation of healing. You may believe it. You may understand it. You may be praying for it. But the manifestation is when it clicks together, when it happens. And here God speaks. It says that the Spirit, you know, the gifts of the Spirit are for the manifestation of the goodness of God in these places. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for what? The profit of all. You know, back in the Corinthian church, all these people were coming out of these pagan rituals. They were worshiping other gods, multiple gods, all these strange cults and things going on in the culture of the time. And the people were bringing in these ideas from their previous religions into the church. And they were getting confused about how the Holy Spirit worked in their midst. They began to misunderstand these things. So here the Apostle Paul is underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit, begins to explain these things, saying, look, there's one God, one Spirit. There's not a spirit of healing. There's not a God of prophetic utterance. There's not all these different things, but there's one God working all in all together, building this structure, building this living, breathing thing called the church, me and you working together. And he says it's all working together for a singular cause of having the name of Jesus move forth and change this world back to what God originally meant it to be, to bring his goodness on this earth. So all of a sudden, he begins to explain the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Another, the word of knowledge through that same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discerning of spirits. And yet to another, different kinds of tongues. Another, the interpretation of tongues, and one and the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one of us individually, as He, capital H, that's the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit, as He wills. Then he continues on speaking about how the church, how meeting together are like different members of a body all working together. Kind of tying in this whole idea of what the gifts of the Spirit really are. Now the gifts of the Spirit are a manifestation. They're coming together. They're an appearance, I guess you'd even say, of these different things the Holy Spirit's trying to work within us. And he makes this whole list. I know in the past week, Pastor Dan spoke about, I believe it was the gift of prophecy, the gift of the word of knowledge and these things. And as we move on today, we're speaking of the gift of faith and the gifts of healing. So let's get into it tonight. Now, as we look at this, all these gifts are never to advance a man or a personality, maybe a specific person or entity. You know, the Bible's real specific that God's not going to share his glory with anybody. And if we begin to get these ideas where, well, I just can't wait for my ministry to start. I just can't wait for people to pat me on the back. Or maybe we want the accolades of men and women and people to think something special of us. You know, that's the easiest way to shut down the Spirit of God in your life, is when we begin to get greedy for the glory or the praise of men and women. Ever begin to get here and feel those things rumble up inside of a heart, put it down and put it to death as soon as you can, because you're quenching immediately the very gift that God's trying to move through you. You know, the sooner we can realize it's not about us, but it's about Him, the further on in our relationship and moving and operating in the power of God that He set forth for us to be. You know, I love what John the Baptist said. He said, I just can't wait for me to decrease and for Him to increase. Less of me, God. Less of me and more of Him. And that's the attitude we have. And the more we put ourselves, our desires, our will on the back burner, the greater God's glorified in our lives. And the truth of the matter is this, is the more of us we put back, the more God begins to show us who we really are. Because we find ourselves in who He is. So today, we're looking at these gifts of the Spirit. Two specifically, the gift of faith and the gift of healing. And maybe you come from certain denominational backgrounds where these things are strange, or these things are the things that SNL skits are made of. You know, maybe these are the things that just kind of irk you out, and maybe they kind of give you the willies, you know? These things aren't strange or weird. They're supernatural, but they're not strange or weird. You know, what happens is the strange and the weird comes when we get out of order, begin to run people off. We begin to try to get it, bring the flesh into the Spirit. And the flesh and the Spirit have nothing to do with each other. You know, tonight, we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit desires to work these things within us in not a strange way, but in a supernatural way, a way that can't be explained any other way than saying that has to be God. You know, it's funny, you don't have to turn there, but in Mark 16, 15 through 17, you know, Jesus, he kind of begins to send off the disciples with the Great Commission. And he says, these things, these signs shall follow those who believe. Now, it's funny because the signs are what follow the believers. And oftentimes we get the cart before the horse, where we begin to say, well, there's no miracles happening in that church. I'm not seeing people rolling on the ground, foaming at the mouth, roaring like lions, you know, so maybe the Spirit of God. You know, all of a sudden, we put the cart before the horse, and we look for the spectacular. You know, Jesus said that a wicked generation looks for signs and miracles. But if you and me choose today to say, well, I'm going to put that to the side, I'm going to live my life for Jesus Christ to the fullest that I can, then what's going to happen is you'll find yourself working and operating in the miraculous. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to try for it. You don't even have to try to conjure it up to make yourself seem like you know God more than you really do. All you need to do is live a life completely devoted to Jesus Christ. And if we'll make a decision to live a life completely devoted to Jesus Christ, then that's when the miracles begin to kick in inside of our lives. Not because we're looking for Him, but because we're looking for Him. What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. If you have a need, if you need healing in your life, if you need a miracle in your life, then get close to the miracle, the one who's behind the miracles, instead of trying to get close to the miracles. You know, we look at this in Corinthians, and it says this. It says, the manifestation is given to the Spirit, each one for the profit of all. Some given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, and another faith by the same Spirit. Let's take a look, real quick look at this gift of faith. Now, faith is such a... it's such a church word, you know? It's such a word that we see all throughout church and the Bible and these things. And the faith that the Holy Spirit speaking of in this verse is different. It's different than maybe the faith you and I might be thinking about initially. You know, the Bible talks about several different kinds of faith. You know, if you look through the New Testament, you look at what the Bible tells us, you could actually kind of be pretty much categorize it down to four kinds of faith. You look at it, it says, you know, of course, you know, as we saw today, there's a saving faith. The faith that brings us into relationship with God. There's this faith that gets us into right standing with God. You know, Ephesians 2:8 says, real simply, it says, by grace we have been saved. How? Through faith. So it's that initial acceptance, that initial trusting and saying, God, okay, I can't do this. I need you to do this for me. There's that saving faith. That's not the faith we're talking about today. And then you look, well, of course, there's just a kind of a general kind of faith, the faith we need to get through every day, the faith that we use to get through a tough work day, the faith we use when our kids are bouncing off the walls, the faith we get through when you know, your wife is, well, no, I know your wife wouldn't be saying those things, but, you know, your husband is saying those things that just get on your nerves. Yeah, the faith you need to get through those times in life. It's a kind of general faith. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 12:3, it says that the Lord has given each of us a measure of faith. You know, when you pray and you're believing God for answers, it's your faith. It's that measure of faith the Lord's given us. You know, the disciples said, increase our faith. That's what they're talking about. Your faith grows in strength as you exercise your faith muscle throughout the day. And that, but that's not what, even that's not what we're talking about today in 1 Corinthians. And then we go on, and of course, you know, if especially if you were a child in any type of children's ministry or Sunday school, we all remember the fruit of the Spirit, right? And what is one of the fruit of the Spirit is? Love, joy. Don't make me name them all off, okay? But it's love, joy, you know, all those good things. And then it goes faith, the fruit of faith. And that's not what we're talking about either today. I mean, it's a character attribute that the Lord's working within us. A characteristic of love, a characteristic of joy, a characteristic of long-suffering. You know, the character of faithfulness to what the Lord's put before us. And even that's not what we're speaking about. You know, what we're speaking about today with this gift of faith is a supernatural faith. It's a supernatural faith that... It's a supernatural faith that someone who's waiting and believing God to receive an answer or a miracle in their life all of a sudden rises up on the inside of you, and you know that 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 you know without a shadow of a doubt that the thing that the Lord spoke to you is coming to pass without a shadow of turning. No one can convince you otherwise. You know, just as the sun is coming up tomorrow, the Spirit of God places this gift of faith inside of you. And it's almost as if the word spoken to you was spoken from God Himself, that you know it's going to come to pass to you, pass in your life. You know, when the gift of faith is in operation, whatever is spoken by that or desired by that individual, it's active in, is being used in this gift. It's guaranteed to come past. One way you could even describe it is it's kind of like a passive gift. It's not like you're actively working a miracle. You're praying and you're laboring over a thing. It just settles inside of you, and you're there to receive. It's like a good quarterback throwing to a receiver that's in the right place at the right time. You can't help but catch the ball. That's where you are. You're at the right place in the right time with this gift of faith rising up inside of you. You think of Daniel. Daniel 6, 23rd verse. You know, here's Daniel in the midst of a lion's den with lions hungry all around him to be put to death. And here he is staying the night. And he comes out in the morning alive, not one limb missing, not one little tasty nibble taken from him. And here Daniel is. He survived this lion's den as the lions just slept around him as he was thrown in this den to be eaten and devoured. Daniel 6:23, it says, and Daniel believed in his God and was rescued from the lion's den. It says, now the king was exceedingly glad for him, commanded that they should take Daniel out of that lion's den. So Daniel was taken out of the den. And no injury whatsoever was found within him. Why? Because he believed in his God. The gift of faith was working active and alive inside of this man at this time. So he believed God is for supernatural protection in your life. And all of a sudden he received this gift of protection. He's not working a miracle. He's not necessarily even praying all night. He's just believing God at what God said, and it becomes real in such a tangible way in his life. You know, I love it. If you guys can, turn to Romans in the 4th chapter. I want you to actually read this one. This is a good one. And this is an underliner. It's a good one. Romans, the 4th chapter. The Bible tells us, Romans 4:18. Talking about Abraham. Here's Abraham, 100 years old, his wife 90 years old. Talk about the gift of faith that rose up on the inside of him. Rose up and overshadowed him. And God had told them that they're going to have a kid. Now, I don't know about you, but somewhere way earlier, before 100 years old, things just don't work like they used to, you know? Certain parts just, you know, I don't know. I mean, it just, you just don't have babies after that. You know, your body says, I'm done. So here Sarah is, 90 years old, and Abraham is 100 years old. And all of a sudden, it says here in verse 18, it says this. It says, now Abraham, contrary to hope, looking hopelessness in the face, he said, contrary to hope, in hope, he what? Believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. You know, the gift of faith kicks in when you hope against all hope. You hope against all belief. And all of a sudden, you know within yourself that it will, it can, it shall, it is coming to pass. It's supernatural. It doesn't make any sense. It's just gonna work out. The gift of faith. I love it with Jesus. Matthew 8. Here this storm is happening in the boat. This little fishing boat is just tossing to and fro. Lightning, thunder, the waves are hitting against it. I don't know if you've ever seen Deadliest Catch, but it's got to be like that. You know, where there's fish flying inside of the boat, hitting the disciples in the face. I mean, you know, the disciples, it says that they're running around, screaming, shouting for their life. We're going to die, we're going to die. And they look, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? And there they find Jesus at the bottom of the boat, sleeping. Sleeping. You know, Jesus, operating underneath the same Holy Spirit that you and I have today, had this faith that knew he was going to be safe. He had this faith, this gift of faith rising up on the inside that knew, I don't care what the circumstance is like. I'm hoping against all hope. I'm believing against what the circumstance says. And my God has told me that things are going to work out. And he operated and worked in that. That's right. You can give. You're going to give God a praise. Let's give God a praise. Come on. Mark 11 says it's a God-sized faith. A God kind of faith. You know, tonight, I don't know what you need in your life. I don't know what you're believing for. I don't know where you stand in your relationship with all these things going around you. But tonight, the Holy Spirit can rise up inside of you and provide you the gift of faith. Tonight, if there's something you need to believe for, I believe tonight the Holy Spirit can come upon you, can rise up on the inside of you. And if he will tonight, then he can bring to pass that which you need desperately in your life. You know, and then we see in 2 Corinthians, there's a gift of faith, and it continues, there's the gifts of healing. Interesting. This is the gifts of healing. Now, this gift of healing is separate than what the doctors can do. It's separate than medical science. It's separate than maybe what drugs can do inside of your life. You know, or Tylenol or whatever prescription is given to us. But the very gift of healing, the gifts of healing operating in us, is something supernatural. It supersedes the laws of nature, and it comes into our life, and it makes what wasn't what it's supposed to be. What wasn't there at one time becomes there. What is broken supernaturally is sewn back together into one piece. Seen it happen before with my own two eyes. As God moves upon someone and brings healing and restoration physically, I've seen it mentally, I've even seen it socially in people's lives. How one time they were just broken in their relationships, God was able to restore back to them. Relationships that had been destroyed, God's healed even the most broken of people. I've seen it. And God's speaking today about the gifts of healing. You know, in Acts the 10th chapter, verse 38. In Acts 10th chapter, the Bible talks about Jesus. Now, a lot of times, you know, I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but you know, sometimes you read through the Gospels or you read through the Bible and you think, gosh, Jesus did so much really amazing stuff. Everywhere he'd go, he'd heal people. We begin to think, well, you know, he did that because he's Jesus. I mean, look, he's Jesus. He's God. He was there before everything else was. You think, well, it's, you know, Jesus could do whatever he wants. I mean, if he wanted to ride in on clouds on a unicorn, he could do whatever he wants because he's Jesus. You know? I mean, he is God himself. He spoke the world into creation. With simple words, he said, I would like earth to be here right now. And there earth was. I would like a giraffe. A giraffe. I'm going to take a big clump of dirt, breathe on it, and cause it to become man. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. He can do whatever he wants. But the Bible tells us something interesting. And we can see it here in Acts. It talks about Jesus. That when he left heaven, stepped down from his throne, put on flesh just like me and you, he became 100% man and while still being 100% God. And he took the privilege of deity and put it to the side. And he didn't do one miracle until he was 30 years old, baptized by John the Baptist. And he received, if you read the Bible, it says on that baptism, he received the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was then, when he received the power of the Holy Spirit, that he began to operate. Now it's funny because that same Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus is the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. If you're born again, if you have Jesus living on the inside of you, that same Spirit. You know, Jesus limited himself to do just what you and I can do under the power of God. You see, the same things that Jesus did, he didn't do because he was Jesus. He did it because he had the Holy Spirit living and active inside of his life to show me and you that what he did, we could do. And what did Jesus say? Even greater things. And when Jesus began to go through towns and to go through cities and go in these circuits and he began to heal people, he did it because he was operating in the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we have been given today to be able to do. If we would just listen when the Spirit says you'd like healing to happen. So all of a sudden in Acts, and I know this because what the Bible says here in Acts 10:38, the Bible says this, 10:38. The Bible says this. You don't believe me? That's okay. Read the Bible. Here's what it says. It says, and it begins to say here, it says, let's go back to verse 36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through who? Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The word that you know, which is proclaimed throughout all Judea, began from Galilee after what? The baptism that John preached. How God, what did he do? He anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with what? With power. Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You see that? It wasn't just because he was Jesus, the Son of God. It was because he had the power of the Holy Spirit living, active, alive inside of him. And because God was with him. I don't know, is that you? Is the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you? When you go into your life, do you operate in the Holy Spirit living active inside of your life? Does God go with you? Because if he does, that which Jesus did, we can do. Now, I'm not saying that we are Jesus. I'm not saying we are a God. We're not going to be a God. You never will be, okay? But we can operate in the same fullness of power that Jesus Christ did if we would just listen and ask him. You know, all of a sudden it says that Jesus did what? He went through the cities, bringing healing and restoration. He began to bring healing and free people of the power of the devil. And all of a sudden, you know, we see that we have this. You know, it's interesting to note too, in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, he says the gifts of healing. I don't really think the Bible is very clear on that. But when the gifts of healing operate, you know, maybe, you know, I think it'd be safe to look into that, saying, well, maybe there's different gifts for different illnesses or sicknesses. Maybe if there is, that's great. If there isn't, well, you know, then there isn't. But it's interesting to see that it's not just the gift of healing. You know, there's certain times I've been in certain services and I've been with people, and there's certain times where God has an anointing that moves in to heal certain ailments or illnesses, and he doesn't heal the other ones for some reason, whatever reason God or the Holy Spirit so sees fit. But that's what happens: is God moves in and he begins to bring healing in certain areas because, well, that, the Bible tells us real clearly that's what the Holy Spirit wills at this time. Now, if as we pray, or you pray, or someone prays for you, you don't feel the click in your back, or you don't, you know, the bell doesn't go off for whatever reason, you know, don't be discouraged. Because just because you don't have a supernatural manifestation of healing doesn't mean that your healing's not on the way. Some people were healed immediately, some people were healed as on the way, some people healed the next day, some people healed within the hour. You know, don't be discouraged that tonight, as we pray, you don't receive it just like that. It doesn't mean healing isn't there for you, it's just on its way. You know, interesting. In Acts the 14th chapter, and then we're gonna move on real quick here, because I think God wants to do something here tonight. In Acts 14, verse 9, you know, Paul the apostle is walking down the street, and it's interesting. He sees a crippled man on the side of the road. He says, in Lystra, the city of Lystra, there's a certain man. In Acts 14, verse 8, in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked in his life. And this man began to hear Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And the man leaped and walked. See, you could see here that the gift of faith was working in this man. Paul looked at him and he perceived, this man has faith. This man has a faith unlike the people around me. This man has a faith that's ready to receive whatever it so is that he needs. So he spoke out, and the Holy Spirit willed him, and the Holy Spirit willed to bring the gift of healing within him, within Paul. And as he said, "Be healed and stand up." And the man leaped up. And there you had the Holy Spirit working in unison within these two men to cause a miracle to happen beyond medical science to make a man whole. Yeah. I know in my life I have numerous family members. I've gotten phone calls of sickness in my families. And I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of illness and sickness coming into my life or the lives of the ones that I love. I'm just sitting back. You know, tonight I want to believe God for healing, whether it's within your body or within the bodies of those you love. Tonight, let's believe God. Let's call upon God. Let's ask and petition heaven's throne for God to do something, to move upon their behalf. You know, for the past 10 years, I've been in ministry. I've been to youth camps. I've been to my share of services. I've seen some pretty amazing things. You know, I've seen teenagers up at camp. I've seen bones heal. I've seen teenagers with casts on their hands go to the doctor right after camp. And I've seen the doc. I've seen the next day with no cast on. Why? Because they did an X-ray and they said, "Well, everything's okay." I've seen asthma get healed from young people. You know, it was just this last year at our youth conference that we had two of our volunteers up on this altar who had their backs miraculously healed. I mean, problems for years, and these aren't like crazy people. You're thinking, where'd they get these people on TV sometimes, you know? These are people I know, and they're normal, and they're sane, and they're like average people, and God moved something inside of their heart, and the gift of healing rose up and manifested in that service, and all of a sudden it happened. And what was once broken was put together. Tonight, I want to pray. Can I get the band back out here? Let me get the worship team back out. Yeah, tonight, you know, the Holy Spirit's in this place. And you know, I was praying and preparing for tonight. You know, I believe there's some things that God wants to do in this place, in your life. You know, I don't know what your needs are, but I know He does. You know, tonight in this place, let's believe God for big things. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You. God, we honor You. Father, we worship You. And God, tonight, we understand fully that this is nothing that we can do. It's all You. So Holy Spirit, we ask that You'd stay in this place. And we know tonight that these gifts You've so given us are not according to our will, not according to our wants, not even according to our desires, but they're as You will. So Father, You know the desires. You know the needs. You know the desperation in this room within our hearts. So God, tonight I pray that You'd move upon us. Lord, I pray that You'd strengthen faith. God, I pray that You'd bring healing. God, I pray that You would give answers where there have been questions. God, tonight I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would move upon us tonight.